Mr. Hawkins.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Jonathan Hawkins, and with co-counsel Paul Danielson, we represent Mr. Royal in this matter. We are practicing pursuant to a 7-Eleven license on behalf of the Bloom Legal Clinic. This Court should remand for resentencing for two reasons. First is the lack of factual findings made by the District Court with respect to drug type. And second, a point on which we wish to rest on our briefs, is that Section 841 is unconstitutionally vague as applied to Mr. Royal's case, and therefore the Court should strike it down. The reason we're here today, Your Honors, is that Quintus Royal's sentence was increased by 10 years due to a fact that nobody ever found. There are three problems that arise with respect to the drug type finding at trial. First is the threshold issue of whether the jury understood its role to include finding drug type. Second is flaws in the special verdict form constituted procedural error, which should have prompted the judge to make her own independent factual findings with respect to drug type. And finally, third is the lack of sufficient evidence that the drug was crack, and that should have prompted the judge to make her own independent findings in any event, despite the jury finding. Turning first to the threshold inquiry, the jury was presented with confusing and contradictory information. Their confusion was apparent by the time they asked a question to the district court. They're asking basically whether their role included finding drug type, to which the judge responded, you only need to follow the instructions. The instructions basically said that in order to convict the defendant, the only thing that the government needed to show was that a controlled substance was being dealt. And further, the instruction said after you have filled out the general verdict that you're to go ahead and fill out the special verdict. That didn't resolve the ambiguity for the jury because basically what they're being told is that any controlled substance will do and that the jury did not need to make a finding of crack. However, when they filled out the special verdict form, as the government now argues, that makes a finding of crack. Secondly, under the threshold inquiry about whether the jury understood its role, the government was using terms such as cocaine base, cocaine, and crack interchangeably, giving the impression that there was no distinction to be made between these drugs, and the jury had no role in making that distinction.
Going back to that special verdict form, the jury had options listed on there, correct? That they could determine whether he was responsible for 50 grams or more of crack, 5 grams or more, less than 5 grams, or 0 grams. So if they could put 0 grams, let's say they just thought it was regular cocaine, not crack cocaine, they could have checked 0, right?
Well, I don't think that that would be what the jury would do, Your Honor. First of all, any jury that finds the defendant guilty on the verdict and has an instruction to fill out the verdict form is going to select the amount of weight that they heard at testimony, especially if the testimony is using terms interchangeably. Secondly, that still doesn't determine drug type for the sentence, because if they check 0 grams, then they're basically saying that crack is not involved, but they aren't saying what drug is involved, nor are they determining the weight of the drug that is involved. So the only way is that the reason that the term is used on the form, or the way the form appears as it is so that the government can avoid having this factual discussion about whether crack is involved in the transaction or not. Instead, it just seems to be a weight question. There's no separate option for determining drug type. And that brings me to my second point, is that the special verdict form was structurally flawed, and the judge should have granted the objection to the special verdict form made by defense counsel at trial and made her own independent factual findings with respect to drug type due to these flaws.
What was the objection made at trial?
The initial objection was not actually made a part of this record, but in the transcript, page 290, there is a discussion about what that objection is, and basically defense counsel is saying that he doesn't think the special verdict form should go back into the jury room in its current form.
Why? Did he say why in the transcript?
I don't think that it appears why in the transcript, but the transcript is very clear that they're having a discussion about what the jury needs to know in order to determine drug type. So the question is very clearly directed at drug type and what role the jury is going to have in determining what the drug is.
Was an alternative jury instruction, special verdict form proposed by counsel?
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor. In any event, the only variable on the special verdict form went to the weight of the drugs, and therefore the trial judge should have taken note of this fact and made her own independent factual findings under the Rivera standard. Finally, third, the lack of sufficient evidence that the drug was crack should have prompted the judge to make her own independent factual finding. At trial, the only evidence that the only affirmative evidence that the government presented that the drug was crack was chemical tests showing that the drug was cocaine base. They have a lay witness testimony that talks about, well, it appeared to be crack to me, it looked like crack, but according to the experts, there isn't any way that you can distinguish that you can distinguish crack from other forms of processed cocaine because it has the same texture, the same color, the same smell, the same shape. There isn't any way to distinguish just by looking at the drug or using other means of physical observation to determine that the drug, in fact, is crack. And due to all these reasons, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time unless there's any questions from the panel.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel.
Thanks.
Mr. Chapman.
May it please the court, the defendant's 240-month sentence in this case should be affirmed because the district court correctly sentenced the defendant by relying upon the jury's special verdict finding that he distributed more than 50 grams of crack cocaine on each of the two charged occasions. As an initial matter, the district court was, of course, required by this court's own precedent to sentence the defendant in accordance with the special verdict unless the district court found that the evidence was just simply insufficient or that there were procedural errors that resulted in the special verdict being unreliable. And, of course, the defendant here raises both of those claims. But first, with regard to the sufficiency of the evidence, the defendant on this record simply fails to meet his burden of establishing that there was no evidence in the record to support the special verdict that the jury returned. You have, of course, to start with, the lab analysis by a 30-year veteran of the DEA showing that the material was cocaine base rather than cocaine salt. And so that finding by itself eliminates much of the defendant's argument that the characteristics of cocaine salt may be similar to those of cocaine base because, such as the lumpy rock-like form or the odor, because the scientific test eliminated the possibility that this was powder cocaine. So then the only question left was, is it crack cocaine or is it a non-crack form of cocaine base? And for that, as this court has held before, you can turn to witness testimony to see if the material is in fact crack cocaine. And in this case, you have overwhelming evidence of that fact. You have the identification of the material as crack by the informant, by the very experienced undercover officer, by the expert, by the lab analyst, and a couple other of the law enforcement officers. In addition, you have the recorded conversations. The defendant, in his own words, refers to having cooked up the drugs that he distributed to the CI. And so, and that term is a common street term, as the expert testified, to transforming powder cocaine into crack cocaine.
The question of the re-rocked cocaine, how often is re-rocked cocaine sold on the street? Was there any evidence of that? Or
Judge, there was no evidence with regard to that, although the expert testified that re-rocked cocaine is not crack. Re-rocked cocaine is powder cocaine that is diluted and then pressed back into hard form so that the buyers think that what they're receiving is a more pure form of powder cocaine. But there was no testimony as to how often re-rocked cocaine is sold. In addition, the informant, when he first approached the defendant, asked the defendant to rock up the drugs that he was purchasing. And, of course, if one draws the conclusion that he was referring to powder cocaine, you'd have to also draw the conclusion that he was asking to be given a lower quality of drugs, which I would submit is simply illogical. With regard to the special verdict form, the district court did not commit any errors. Since Apprendi, we have routinely used special verdict forms because the drug type and quantity though not elements of the 841 offense, are still relevant because the jury finding will set the statutory maximum sentence based upon the type and the amount. And in this case, the special verdict form clearly allowed the jury to convict the defendant and at the same time find that his offense involved 0 grams of crack cocaine, as Your Honor pointed out. That was one of the options given to the jury. And in fact, it's clear from their questions that they were deliberating with respect to drug weight. I would submit it's to drug type as well. If they thought this was powder or they thought it was a non-crack form of cocaine base, they simply had to check off the box for 0 grams of crack cocaine. And after the verdict was returned, the district court pulled all of the jurors, and every one of them said that that was, in fact, their decision. So unless the court has any further questions, we would simply ask that the court affirm the sentence of defendant Quintus Royal.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further? Mr. Danielson?
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to address first the special verdict form once again. That checking 0 grams, one, does not seem very logical because that would not determine either the weight or the type of the drug. And the jury, second of all, I'd like to talk about the specific language of their question. When they submitted the question to the judge, they asked, do we have to find specifically that it is crack cocaine or that it is a controlled substance as said in the indictment versus the instructions? The phrasing of the question indicates this is sort of a disjunctive proposition where they equated the indictment with a finding of crack cocaine specifically and following the instructions with only a finding of a controlled substance. The judge instructed them to follow the instructions, which, while legally correct, did not clear up the confusion in light of the wording of their question. Additionally, following the instructions led them to this special verdict form, which, as we're arguing, did not procedurally allow them the option of determining drug type, merely the weight of the drug. And so we believe that they were not, one, they did not understand that that was their duty to decide that, and that, two, they weren't meaningfully given that option at all based on the structure of the form. As to the sufficiency question, we do have the chemical analysis that it is cocaine-based, but all of the lay testimony was undercut by the government's own expert witness, the person who is supposed to be most familiar with these drugs, saying that visual, sensory, tactile analysis is not enough to distinguish these things. So for someone to come in and say, yes, it looks like crack cocaine, that doesn't really add any weight to the analysis because of what the expert admitted on the stand, that sort of testimony is not sufficient to determine or to distinguish. For both of these reasons, we believe that the judge should have made her own independent factual findings and that 2 increases the statutory minimum by 10 years. The defendant really would like a factual finding made by some finder of fact for that sentence to be proper. And so we ask that this court remand in light of the arguments that we presented, and unless there are any further questions.
Mm-hmm.
Time.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. Ms. Schrupp, we appreciate your willingness and that of the Northwestern Clinic to accept the appointment in this case and the assistance you've been to your client in the court. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.